never rests.
Beauty killers in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
What is up, everybody? It's the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Rusty Mansell. We are from Dogs HQ, as always. And we got a lot of information to share today. Georgia's in the Sugar Bowl. They're the number two seed. They're going to play the winner of 7-10. The committee did what we thought the committee might do and what we all wondered if the committee would do. It's just kind of a weird dynamic there, and we're going to discuss all of that. But, Rusty, I think the thing of the hour, the thing of the day, the thing of the probably the next few weeks, it seems like Kirby Smart's probably going to try to drag it out and make it that way if we know him like we think we do. Carson Beck. What do we know here? We know he's hurt. We know he's got some numbness. We know he had an MRI. Can you add anything else?
No, not dealing in rumors. You know, I got text messages all day saying I heard he's done for the year. I got text messages saying he's not hurt, and we're just too much there to guess on. So we're not going to guess until we do know he got an MRI. Kirby said that. You know, it might be one of those things they want to wait a day or two and see what he feels like, you know, what's the options there. But if he is done for the year, they will not be able to hide that because he will have to go on and have that, you know, medically treated quicker than later. So, but I don't anticipate them being able to string this out. I would imagine we'll know something the next day or so. My opinion on this either way.
All right, so we know where Georgia's going. They're going to Sugar Bowl. We know who they're going to play if they play in the Sugar Bowl, where they're going to play if they win that game. They've got the 3 weeks off they so desperately needed. They got gosh. It. And 24 days, I guess, technically. So, Gunnar Stockton, I think we've now got to just dig in on the idea that maybe Carson Beck's not going to be there. Wrote this morning, tried to have it ready for everybody first thing. Playoff scenarios with and without Gunnar Stockton. And it depends on who you talk to. From Saturday's game, Russ, you talk to some people and they look at that 75-yard drive and to open the second half and Gunner coming out slinging it, and they were impressed. And then others, they really put a lot of on that throw where Gunner clearly got ahead of himself, got the play got a little too fast for him. It happened to that happened that way a couple of times, and a couple of negatives, got away with a fumble. I feel like, you know, if Georgia has to depend on Gunnar Stockton, I don't think there's going to be like wholesale changes or anything, but I do think it's reasonable to expect a guy to look more prepared and be in maybe a little bit different state of mind.
Gets a
chance to prepare as a starter. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Call me crazy on that. I mean, the dude sitting there just watched a half of football. He's been through 2 years of sitting there watching a half of football, and you go in the locker room, and Hal explained to me was, pretty quickly, right after that, Kirby Smart knew quickly into that halftime that Carson Beck couldn't go. They went to Gunner. They got him. He goes to the play sheet. Someone told me that Mike Bobo sat down with him at play sheet. They went down everything he liked, double-checking. That's something they do on Fridays, I'm told. What plays do you like on third down? They went right back over those. What do you like in second down? Some of those things, you go over the play sheet, go over the numbers, and you don't have time to think about it, but it's different when you can prep and you can rep. But, you know, I've told everybody on Dogs HQ for a while, and, you know, I don't get everything right in recruiting right now. And I had a couple misses last week, and I'll be here to own up to that. However, I have told everyone that Gunnar Stockton is the clear. He is the clear number two at Georgia. You saw that last night. He has gotten reps at times with the ones. And, you know, you can definitely do something if they wind up having to go to him or if they wind up turning this thing over to him for the rest of the season. You can do some different things. Now, Jake, you and I both talked about this a little bit, the inside zone, inside, you know, the run game with him. Some of the things you saw with Haynes King, he brings some of that to his game. But you got to be really careful because if you're Georgia Tech, you're in that game. You had Pyron that had played some. You had Aaron Filo, who's already played a lot. And you can basically turn Haynes King loose. When you get to Gunnar Stockton last night, it's Ryan Puglisi who's next. And Ryan Puglisi, you know, he's a freshman. And to be in that moment, that would have been a lot for him to put on his shoulders right now. So, you know, he was coming in the game. It tells you he's ahead of Jaden Rashada right now at just with this point. And, you know, to put him in that part, that would have been – I don't know that you can put Gunner, the complete game plan in on Gunner, knowing that he might have to play more games, and you got to protect him a little bit. Because here's the thing about Gunner. He's gutsy. Everybody loves him. This kid's tough as nails. I've known Gunner Stockton since he was in the ninth grade. I know a lot about Gunner Stockton. This dude is wired differently. This guy's a winner. This guy's going to take some shots now, and he took one last night. He took two in the Florida State game last year, physical shots. That's part of his game. So you got to kind of make sure he understands at times you got to get down and times you got to save yourself. But Gunner Stockton, you give him a little bit of time. Those guys can you give him a little time now. Those guys can build stuff around him.
Blood got pumping on that first scramble. Kind of hit that dude at the end. I noticed it on TV. He got up chirping at him a little bit.
You like him? I'm telling you now. One.
And the reaction was cool. I put it on Twitter today, a little moment there with him and Trevor Etienne. Like right before his first snap, Trevor reaches over, says something to him, and Gunner grabs him and kind of puts his hand on top of his helmet real quick. And they kind of, you know, calm each other down there real quick. And then next thing you know, George has gone 10 plays, 75 yards and taking the lead in that game after trailing the entire way. It's just crazy how that happened. And listen, the committee didn't hold it against Georgia that Carson Beck got hurt. I don't know how they could have. Not necessarily that they could have left Georgia out, but you know, they didn't do anything squirrely with the seeds or anything that probably helped Georgia out, but very robotic in how they moved everybody back. You know, Texas went to the 5 and Penn State to the 6 and Notre Dame to the 7, and Georgia gets to play the battle of the Indiana schools, here in 23 days, and really excited to kind of get up there and see how that one's going to be. And then it would be to the Orange Bowl, and then the final would be in Atlanta. So, you know, that's kind of how that works. Looks like Georgia and Texas are on different sides of the bracket, which is nice. That one, I don't think, until the national championship game, which is pretty sweet.
I mean, if you play Texas, you play Texas. But, man, I mean, to come back and rematch right here, I'm just glad that did not work out. It doesn't matter one way or the other. Even if Georgia lost that game last night, you see some different opponents. You know what I mean? And that, if you're going to have a 12-team playoff, you don't have to play a team three times in freaking 70 days, man. So, glad that worked out the way that is, and see how this thing unfolds for Georgia.
And listen, if you want to go to that, national champion, or not national championship game, I'm sorry, I've lost my mind. If you want to go to that Sugar Bowl, Game Time is the place to do it. Game Time is awesome. If you combined like an intuitive app with speed, precision, easy to move around within the site, easy to kind of see where everything you need to see is. You can navigate from page to page. You've got a way to check in, Rusty. Here are the seats that are available right now. And, you know, listen, they're reasonably priced. If you're smarter than me, you can learn how to work this thing for real. But, you got some 50-yard line seats here that are very expensive. But you start getting in here to the 300s, which is not bad in that Superdome. You don't want to be in the 600s. You definitely don't want to be in the press box. It's going to be freezing, and it's going to be a million miles in the air. But there are some good ticket deals out there, some under $200. You can get the all-in price for these tickets with the fees and everything. You can toggle through those things. And listen, if you use the promo code ON3, you can get $20 off your first order with terms applying there. But go on over to Game Time, man. These folks are awesome. Get your Sugar Bowl tickets and come hang out with us in New Orleans. We won't be there as long as we normally are for a bowl week, but we'll definitely be there. Me and Palmer will. Rusty maybe too, if we can talk him into coming. All right, so Rusty, look at that sugar falling, man. I mean, here we go. Georgia's played in a couple Sugar Bowls, but none of them meant anything. Both of them were both just kind of end of the year, New Year's Six bowls. They didn't really mean anything as far as the playoff. This is Georgia's first college football playoff trip to the Sugar Bowl. Pretty excited about it, man, because it's a big venue, and a lot of meaningful games have been played in that venue right there.
Just on paper, you would just have to think your opponent probably most likely going to be Notre Dame. I would say just we're playing that devil's advocate, and you look at that. You're talking about the rematch of the Herschel Walker game. So Georgia and Notre Dame that's two big programs, big building, a lot of history there, and you know it's. I've watched Notre Dame. I think defensively Notre Dame is really good. I think they're really good. Like, they are legit on defense. And they got some big guys. Riley Leonard's a quarterback. you know, transferred over from Duke. He's had some better moments. You know, we'll get closer to that game. We'll find out what happens. Indiana, you know, the magic they've had this year. See what that's crazy. The two in-state schools are playing like that. You want to see the weather for that game, those types of things. So, you know, I don't, it's really too early for me. I'm still trying to figure out, Jake, who's going into portal, who's not going into portal. You know, where does Georgia go from here? And there's just a lot to kind of process. The biggest thing, Jake, you said up front, the biggest thing. And I talked to some players last night after the game on the field, when they had the little kind of media interact a little bit there, man. And every one of them, every single player I ask, and they were like, man, so glad to have a bye. So glad to have a little bit of a breather. And I can't even imagine what Kirby Smart would have said today if he had to come back in and say, guys, we got to play in 12 days. You know what I mean? These guys didn't go home on Thanksgiving because they played on a Friday. I mean, they have been going nonstop for months and months and months, and these guys are going to get to breathe a few days and get their bodies up underneath them and get some healthy people. We should find out something about Kobe Young this week, you know, either way. And that's another big piece of the puzzle that could be added to this team. And just a lot of things, but Georgia, the biggest thing, winning an SEC championship is a massive freaking deal. It's a massive deal. But when you're trying to win a national championship, Georgia had to have this bye. Or I just don't think they could have ran it. I don't think they could have done it. They're beat to you know what. And, man, they're going to get an extra – Jake, I would say they're going to get an extra 8 to 10 days where they can really get their legs back underneath them and get some kids some treatment. Jake, you're on mute. It's been a while, man. It's been a while.
My kids are making some noise upstairs. I was worried everybody's going to hear them. I feel like Georgia is it's in this position now with all these injuries where this was as in, it didn't matter how you got it. I actually was of the opinion like missing the SEC championship game and getting it on the early side would have been better. Not even have to play in that game. Now that, you know, next best scenario, you got thrust into the SEC championship one wild weekend. It sounds like how you became a, you know, it's like sounds like kind of how you became a dad too early in life is just one crazy weekend. You look up and you're in the SEC championship game because everything's gone wrong. So, you know, that's just the way it goes, man.
Man, you went a little sideways there.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Oh, man, you went a little sideways there. Okay, all right.
That's how it goes, man. And Georgia ended up in the SEC championship. So you're sitting there and you're thinking, all right, well, can Georgia actually win this thing? And then you're like, well, okay, maybe their best chance is to play Texas A&M. It's hard to beat a team twice. And then Texas gets in. You're like, golly. Mm-hmm. And then you play 8, and you're like, okay, well, you're going to get an extra day of rest. Mm-hmm. Then you play 8 overtimes against Georgia Tech. And then you go in there and you play Texas, and your starting quarterback gets hurt at halftime. And then you still find a way to win the game. Georgia so has- it's. I don't know. Players. Maybe they should have lost that game. Maybe just keep stacking the odds against them. They keep playing all right. They still keep doing the right thing. But, you know, we went from hoping Georgia was going to get into the playoff but missed the SEC championship game to having to go through all of it. And they've got 2 weeks off before they get to their next game week, and they earned every single minute of rest, every bit of it.
If Georgia's not in the SEC championship, there's a really good chance that we're staring down Georgia playing at Ohio State not this weekend, but the next weekend. They could have been that 8-9 game where Tennessee
said. Yeah, the fact that they didn't really move anybody, I think that, you know, a competitive game with Texas would have kept them from dropping behind Ohio State. I see where you're coming from, though. But there are a lot of different scenarios for sure. But what we're looking at now is you know, Georgia has everything in front of it. Mm-hmm. And this team, you know, again, we talked about Kobe Young. I think that one's actually pretty massive for the pass game. Christian Miller, the way he warmed up on Saturday, I thought he actually awesome. Might try to play.
Yeah, he did everything up until he did one-on-ones. We were all like, is this guy going to do one? He did everything up until they did one-on-ones, and they were like, oh, okay, he's just stressed out. But – that tells me, Jake, he probably was an emergency situation, and that tells you he's a lot closer. So that is really good news if they can get him back. Are you Are you really surprised? I know you went back and watched the game today. I went and watched some of it. Texas is a really freaking good football team, man. Texas looks like, in pads, a national championship roster. They could win this thing. Are you surprised at what Georgia's done to them now twice?
Yeah, I actually said it. I said there's no way Georgia can replicate what they did the first time, and damn if they didn't do it better.
From
10 to 15 tackles for a loss. The way they beat them up front, like it was one of those deals, Rusty, where I'm in the game thread. I'm in the famous Dogs XQ game threads the whole way, presented by Bulldog Snacks. They're so brave for putting their name on that thing.
Yeah,
game threads get out of hand. Mm-hmm. And I try not to pay too much attention to what folks are saying or try to calm people down too much. They don't respond well to that. It's kind of like telling your wife, hey, you need to calm down. They respond the same way. But I felt like Georgia was getting them behind the sticks, and Texas kept having to come up with a play, throwing it over the fingertips to Daniel Harrison and this tight window throw over here. And Quinn Ewers was kind of playing with fire, getting in those situations. And then eventually those situations started to catch back up with Texas. And when they did, Georgia started scoring. And that's when Georgia actually had a chance to do more damage than it did. But yeah, I'm blown away that they just, even with Kelvin Banks out, because the Goosby kid had a really good game against A&M. Even with Kelvin Banks out, I expected, after what happened the first time, for an offensive line that talented and probably that prideful to not let it happen again. And Georgia got them again worse.
I went back and watched, like, what Georgia did to their offensive line. Like, that's not that you don't change that. Like, that's the second time you got your ass whipped, basically, like twice. And that's not one of those where you're talking about 70 plays. So they have rushed. They sack adjusted too now. Two games combined, they have rushed for like 68 yards against Georgia. That's crazy. With that offensive line they've got, giving up 25 tackles for a loss.
13 sacks.
Look, Georgia doesn't match up well with everybody else, but for whatever reason, man, it really is surprising. Texas is good football,
Rusty, man. It's one of those deals. If I'm a Georgia fan, I'm hoping I get Texas in that same building again,
Georgia signed them up all day long.
Respect for them. I know it's going to be a full fledged knockdown, just like it was on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a lot of confidence in my defensive front that I know that they can. There's some things that they can handle against that offensive front. And 97 Warren Brinson, 94 cool. Xavier McLeod.
Mm-hmm.
Really good game for him. 44, some limited reps in there, looked good. 78 probably had Nazir Stackhouse. Him and Warren Brinson have now played in a combined 7 SEC championship games. Rusty, Naz has played in 3 and Warren Brinson has played in 4. And they both had their best ones yet in their last ones. Warren Brinson had probably the best, closest thing to Jalen Carter since Jalen Carter as far as a impactful staying in the backfield type of game. And then Jalen Walker, Mykel Williams. It was the same characters as last time for the most part. And Georgia just pounded away and got into them again. And Texas has – I could not figure out how Texas was 4 and 5 yards a pop just over and over again, body blows against A&M, and they got nothing against Georgia outside of 2 10-yard runs, and one of them happened on 3rd and 27.
I don't really know how to explain it. I mean – we talk about the Georgia-Alabama. Alabama's got Georgia's number. I mean, they just do. Now, those games haven't been like that. I mean, they haven't been dominant. They've found ways to beat Georgia. And, Ryan Williams makes a play there at the end of the game, and Georgia lost another one. But for whatever reason, if you look at that game and now you look at a second sample size, I mean, that's just Georgia's a better team than Texas. And up front, I mean, that's tough to overcome when you don't have players that can get in a phone booth and fight the other team when you you just get knocked out. And it's just surprising to me, but that's what you see out of Georgia and you go, man, can you have that? Can you have that? But not everybody plays that style. Georgia knows where, Quinn Ewers is going to be. They know if they heat him up, where he's going to be most of the time, and put some extra juice in there. But I will say this, just credit the offensive line in the second half. what they did to run, because Texas's defensive front is ridiculously good too, man. Georgia had a tough time with that, but I thought ETN and Frazier both had some extra juice in the second half, and just kind of touched on that. You know, I know we had a recap show last night, but I'm watching the sky cast right here behind us, and man, they just whip Texas, man. I mean, that is sometimes you're just not a better football team. And I'd be willing to say if Georgia plays them again, Texas is going to they'll have to have some breaks to beat Georgia.
I don't think there's any other way to really say it, Rusty. You know, that's kind of how the cookie crumbles for Texas. I mean, the offense just doesn't match up that great with Georgia. The defense does. Defense is going to keep them in a lot of ball games. They're going to have a chance to win every single thing they play because that defense is so good. It's fast. They get off blocks up front. But tell you what, there's some few guys up, and we'll probably get to it in plus. There are a couple of guys up front for Georgia that got it going in the second half in a way that, you know, Georgia maybe won some of those one-on-one battles. The other way, the offensive line won some of those one-on-one battles with the D-line, and Georgia found a way to run it in the second half like they haven't all year. One person that's been with us all year is our man Andy Ludicky over at My Perfect Franchise, and you may be a displaced corporate executive. You may be the kind of person that's just looking to branch out and do it your own way. Nest egg, whatever. You are ready to kind of branch out and do your own thing and live your American dream. And Andy Ludicky can help you get there with a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. Andy is a franchise veteran. Andy is an experienced businessman. Andy has tons and tons of success stories that he can share with you for all the different franchises and all the different people he has helped kind of go out on their own and chase their entrepreneurial dream. Go to myperfectfranchise.net and reach out to Andy. Give him a shout, I believe he'll be able to help you out. Andy, there are several success stories already just from ours, and he works around our network and with a lot of different folks to try and get to get more clients and to help more people. And he's a lot of success stories. Go check it out, myperfectfranchise.net. Rusty, you mentioned it earlier. We got the transfer portal coming up. It was absolutely bananas last year. Is it just going to be worse this year? Because it just keeps getting worse. It seems like it's a little more crazy every year.
I don't know that you say worse. Can I say more active? It'll be more active.
How?
Well, it is what it is. And
I don't know how it can get more active than it was last year.
Jake, it's not even open yet, and it's already more active.
Well, that's what it was. This is what it was last year, too. It was all these, declarations of planning to enter.
Yeah, well, it's tomorrow you'll know because they'll officially get into the portal. I guess that's midnight tonight, and it's open till December 28th. Teams that play in the playoffs, you get 5 days past your last game as an extension. So, if Georgia were to lose, just say on the first, they would have to the sixth some of their portal stuff, some of their entries and stuff like that. So we will see how those things go. Georgia's going to lose some players for sure, but Georgia's going to be very confident. Georgia's going to be active in the portal, and we brought to you, what we expect on Dogs HQ, what positions we expect to target, and a couple of names that we don't need to mention on here. A couple of names that we are watching. We talked about that on Dogs HQ. So it's going to be interesting, like Alabama didn't make the playoffs, and had they made the playoffs, some of those kids that left today would have probably waited till, the season was over. But the playoffs are such a big deal now. I think Alabama had three or four go in today. And, we'll see some of these teams tomorrow, what happens with as the week goes on. But it's going to be wild. It's going to be, this and that. I will say this, I will caution you, if you're reading social media, I'm telling you right now that you're going to see teams, and I'll say this too, that use Georgia's name. You're going to say that, hey, you're going to see these social media edits that Jake Rowe is interested in. He's hearing from Florida State, Georgia, and Miami, when in fact he's not hearing from Georgia. Well, who does that? And sometimes that's agents. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to drive the price up on their guy. So it's going to be, don't jump to every single thing you see. Go to your trusted source, and we hope that Dogs HQ is that for you. And we will try to bring you the most. I will say this, Jake, as well, but we're going to start seeing visits pretty quickly. These guys can come on campus right now, starting tomorrow, if you want to bring a guy in and have visits. Georgia will have some guys on having visits, and those types of things. I would say in the next 5, 6, 7 days, they will start entertaining people, and Kirby Smart will be sitting down with those guys. So it's crazy. It's like having NFL free agency right before the NFL playoffs start, which is, I don't know whose decision it is, but that is what it is, and you're about to start seeing it.
It's insane. And the good thing is that when you are at Georgia, you get to kind of lay this off for a little bit. And that kind of helps us out a little bit, you know, like it, kind of laying it off for a little bit, preparing, and guys have a chance. I think most of them understand that, you know, kind of the opportunity that they've got to play in front of a lot of people in the playoff and maybe shine and up their value, even if they are thinking about leaving. But some of them are just going to go ahead and pull the trigger. It happened with Bill Norton in 2022, I believe it was. And then it's happened with several other guys over the past.
Bill Norton finished the season.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah. He went in and he stayed and practiced.
That's right. Yeah, he did. Yeah. He went in the portal and stuck around for a little bit.
Georgia had a wide receiver go in last night before they got home.
Michael Jackson
went into the portal before the bus got back to Athens. He had to send that text message from the bus. So different day, man, different day and age.
It's different. And so many meetings. God, I don't envy where these college coaches are these days. You know, even Dabo looked like he was kind of bracing for it earlier today on ESPN with his,
they get
in the playoff. I mean, he doesn't even mess with the portal going and getting guys, but you know, he's trying to talk some guys out of entering it. But that's the way it's going to be for everybody. Yeah. Rusty, before we go, I was trying to pull up here the college football playoff bracket, and I'm finding it hard to bring one up that we can actually use. But I wanted to just get your opinion on who you thought had maybe the most favorable draw in this thing, and just go over, hit this college football playoff bracket one good time before we get out of here.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, if I told anybody that follows Georgia, any fan of Georgia, Kirby Smart, anybody that we could have to be able to talk about this in public, look at Georgia's side versus, listen, look at Texas, Oregon, Tennessee, Ohio State, and even Clemson is a hard out there. That left side, when you come through that left side, whoever comes through that left side is going to be battle tested, because there's some physical games over there. Georgia's already battle tested. They've been through the hardest schedule, in my opinion, in the country. And look, there's no cakewalk. Notre Dame's really good. I think Notre Dame's going to beat Indiana. I think Penn State's going to come through that side to play whoever. Penn State's really good, I think, on defense too. But if you look at that scenario, in my opinion, I know everybody was talking about Texas today. Texas has still got to beat Oregon, Tennessee, or Ohio State to get there. Georgia's got to beat, in my opinion, either Notre Dame or Penn State to get to the national championship. That's going to be their path, those two teams. So I would take Georgia. I think Georgia's got a very favorable path, and I kind of like the way that thing's setting up, if they can finish this thing off.
Don't love the Notre Dame matchup with a big physical downhill running quarterback and Riley Leonard. That one kind of worries me a little bit for Georgia. I was really surprised looking through it in Indiana today at how great they are defensively, and how kind of I was thinking it was kind of a wide open offense and a bunch of run and shoot and spread concepts and all that stuff. No, they're kind of pro style and play great defense. And it's kind of weird to see that. I like Georgia's draw too. I think Texas probably has the most favorable one, but if you're Georgia, you're glad you're not on that side of the bracket, because you're avoiding three potential rematches, because you've already went 4-0 against teams in the college football playoff. By the time this thing is over with, Georgia needs three more wins. It could have very well gotten 7 wins over 6 college football playoff teams before this whole thing is over with, if Georgia wins the national championship. That's kind of what they've accomplished this year. That ultimately, you look at the schedule now, they've played 6 games against teams ranked inside the top 17 in the country, and they've won 4 of them. And this team's tested, man, and I think that the rest plus the battle-testedness plus kind of getting a load off their shoulders a little bit, this regular season, it's brand-new season, it's 1-game season, you got 3 of them left. And, man, it's wild to think, Rusty, that – had Georgia went undefeated in the regular season and won the SEC championship game, or had they done what they've done now, we'd be talking about maybe one spot being 1 instead of 2, and I bet you Kirby Smart loves the fact that he's not number 1.
Who you think is coming from that left side?
Oregon. I just think Oregon's better than everybody else. I think they're I think they're more complete than everybody else. But I will say this. Watched a little bit of Oregon yesterday, and I not as much as I like the matchup with Texas. I like the matchup with Oregon because while Dylan Gabriel's is an athletic guy, like he's an athletic quarterback, he's tough to get on the ground. He can move around in the pocket. You're still not talking about one of those get down behind your shoulder pads, Jalen Milroe, Haynes King, pick you apart, tough yardage. You're talking about a guy who would much rather throw the football and kind of run around with it whenever the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think Oregon probably. Something tells me that Texas, that's going to be a heck of a game. And something tells me by the time that game comes up, you might see a little bit more of Arch Manning. I don't know, man. I get it.
I think they probably should. I don't have any confidence in Quinn Ewers. Like, not in terms of like full, I mean, too many turnovers. Too many they can't punch the ball in the end zone. I mean, the red zone in the high red. I mean, it's really bad for them. So, but listening to Sark talk about it, Rusty, I mean, he's all in on that Quinn Ewers train. And, it's funny. I think if you do see that matchup between Oregon and Texas, I think those two teams match up real well with each other. And I think Texas will do a really good job on them defensively, and that might turn that into a game that Oregon's not exactly comfortable winning.
Where would that be?
That's a good question. That would be in Dallas. No, yeah, that'll be in Dallas.
Semifinal. So Oregon would play. Oregon's going to play in the Rose Bowl.
That's right. Oregon's going to play in the Rose Bowl, and then if Texas beats Clemson, then Texas is going to play Arizona State in the Peach Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, Peach Bowl. Correct. It is.
So they'll play them in the Peach Bowl, and then which will be a kind of a right back to a venue that they're familiar with. They win that game, and then those two teams will play in Dallas. If Oregon's able to beat the winner of Ohio State, Tennessee, what a draw right there for them, by the way. Face one of the best teams in the SEC or a team you've already played this year in round two. Good for you, Oregon. I think they may have the toughest draw of anybody.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think they need Oregon. Nobody cares, but Oregon's they got a gripe, and they handle business. They won they're number one and won these games, and then you deal with something like that. My goodness.
I tell you what, I'm gonna tell you right now, Georgia, if they could just get a little chalk. I watched this team right here play this weekend, those Boise State Broncos, and that Gentry kid is something else.
He's something, ain't he?
That is a very traditional, very straightforward, let's lean on this tailback and run pro-style offense at you.
Yeah, that wouldn't be.
Boy, I'd like to see Georgia get a chance to defend something like that because I think it kind of plays into their hands a little bit. But long way to go, Rusty. We get a break. Georgia gets a break. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to go to Louisiana too and maybe do a little fishing. We'll see. But we'll be back later this week to talk about plenty of stuff because we've got the portal, and the portal is going to keep us on our toes. If an entry or an addition is big enough, we're going to talk to you about it. And we'll be back with Dawgs HQ Plus, the Georgia show, everything. But for this one, y'all take it easy.